Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
Let's open in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 4, verse 3 of chapter 4, it says, "For we who have believed do enter that rest, as he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest." Remember, he's talking here about the children of Israel that came out of Egypt, led by Moses. God had a promised land for them to enter into, but they never entered into it. And here we say, "And the Lord had sworn in his wrath that they shall not enter his rest." And so many times people, when thinking about the children of Israel and how they died in the desert, or the Bible calls it a wilderness, it's a desolate place, them dying in that desert, in that wilderness, not making it into the promised land, was the judgment of God. And they say, well, it was God's judgment that caused them to die out there in the wilderness. But what exactly is God's judgment? Judgment is just a person experiencing judgment, or a people experiencing judgment, are people that are simply reaping the negative consequences of their negative actions. They're reaping the consequences of their sin. That's all that judgment is. Mercy is the opposite of judgment. Mercy is you not getting what you deserve. It's you not reaping the consequences of your sin. The children of Israel, you can say, well, they died out there in the wilderness because of God's judgment. But we saw over in Numbers chapter 14, verse 3, where the children of Israel, after God said, "I'm going to bring you out of Egypt, I'm going to bring you into this promised land, I got all these great things waiting for you." And they said, while they were out there between the promised land and Egypt, from which they had come out of, they said, "Why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword?" That's what they said. Now, God didn't say anything about them falling by the sword. He said, "You're going to overcome. You're going to be victorious. I got a promised land for you. Nothing's going to be able to stop you." And they said, "He brought us out here to fall by the sword." That's what they confessed out of their mouth. And so then in verse 28 of that same chapter, the Lord said, "Just as you have spoken in my hearing, so I will do to you." And then verse 43 says, "You shall fall by the sword." In other words, he simply said to them what Jesus told us in Mark 11, that you will have whatever you say. Your future will be determined by the words of your mouth, by your confession. And then we looked at over in verse 14 of Hebrews 4, where it says that Jesus, he is our high priest. Let's look at that, 4:14. "Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession." Now, Jesus is our high priest, and back in chapter 3 of Hebrews, in verse 1, it says he is the high priest of our confession. He is watching over the words of our mouth. Over in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "I am actively watching over my word to fulfill it." God is looking to fulfill his word, but he can only bring to pass in your life the word of God that is in your mouth, that you're confessing. And this is Jesus' current ministry right now. Jesus has a ministry at the right hand of the Father. He is the high priest of our confession. He is watching over the words of our mouth. Proverbs talks about people's lives being ensnared by the words of their lips. People ensnare themselves. People cause problems for themselves. People cause all kinds of trouble by the words that they speak. There's a lot of things people are facing today that is a result of things they have been speaking in days gone by. They're reaping what they have sowed or what they have said. We will reap whatever we say. Now, I want to reap good things. I don't want to reap a bunch of things that are going to cause trouble for me, that are going to cause problems for me, that are going to cause me to die out here in the desert in the wilderness, wandering around in life in doubt and unbelief. That's not how God wants us to live. He wants us to be able to live long and strong, happy, healthy, good lives. Now, that's not a life that's free of trials and tests, because in the world there's going to be opposition. But bless God, we could be of good cheer, because Jesus overcame the world. And greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So what we need to do is we need to start confessing the greater one that's on the inside of us, and not confessing all the issues and problems and troubles that are in the world. Because if we keep talking the trouble, we're going to keep having more of the trouble. And that's what the children of Israel did. They just sat there. They just complained about everything. They complained about there was no food. Then they're tired of the food that they did have. And it's hot. And it's just terrible. And they just kept confessing their circumstances. And meanwhile, the Lord is looking for his word to come out of their mouth so that he could fulfill it in their lives. And that's why he had Moses preaching to them. He was giving Moses his word. He had Moses preaching to him. He was giving them the word. And now he's looking for them. Take hold of what Moses is saying and start talking that. Hey, guys, we're going into the promised land. Man, God is with us. Did you hear the message from Moses this morning? There is a promised land waiting for us. Right in the midst of looking at whatever kind of troubles they might be facing, they can smile, they can be of good cheer, and begin to declare and confess all the things that God was telling them that he was going to do for them. But instead, they thought the worst. They did not speak what God was saying. See, it's not enough that God said it. You've got to say what God says. You've got to give voice to the word of God. I said, you've got to give voice to the word of God. You've got to become God's mouthpiece in this world. That's why I'm not just going to quote it. I want you to look at it. Hold your place in Hebrews. Over there in Matthew chapter 18. And in verse 18, he says, assuredly, this is Jesus talking to you. He says, assuredly I say to you, point to yourself and say, he's talking to you. Assuredly I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you, that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it'll be done for them by my Father in heaven. Notice Jesus is telling you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. In other words, what you're going to experience from God and from his holy angels is dependent upon you. Whatever you bind on earth. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose on earth. And how do we bind and how do we loose things on earth? Through our confession. Through the words of our lips. Isn't it so awesome to know God created us in his image and in his likeness? He created us just like him. That's how he created it. Go back to Genesis chapter 1. God said and God saw. God said, God saw. God spoke it, and that's everything you see is the result of God saying it. God didn't just look at it and go. God did not do that. He didn't just cross his arms and blink. God said. He spoke. And he released his creative power through the words that he spoke. And then he gave man dominion on the earth. And he said, okay, now, here, take my word and you do it. Have dominion over this earth. Rule over this earth. Whatever you bind with your words, whatever you loose with your words, that's how it's going to be from heaven. That's what you're going to get from me. And it's not enough just to pray prayers of deliverance and prosperity and help and blessing. And we pray all these prayers and then we go away after praying and we get to saying what we see, how we feel, how things look. Our saying has to match our praying for our prayers to come to pass, to see our prayers come to pass. We're going to have not just what we pray, we're going to have what we say, what we say. So this is something we got to continuously be reminding ourselves of these things and recognize that we are to be God's mouthpiece in this world. Even the heavenly angels, the Bible says over in Psalm 91:11, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Hallelujah. Can't just be a thought. It's a wonderful thought, but it just dies a thought if it stays a thought. Because the angels need your words. Psalm 103, verse 20 declares, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Oh, yeah, thank God. You know, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. And you just read that and think, well, that's a comforting thought. It can't just be a comforting thought. You got to take hold of it and declare it because that's what they heed. They heed the voice of the word. In other words, they don't heed the written word. They heed the voice of the word. See, we're here on earth. We have authority in this world because we're humans. We have authority in this earth. And so they need to hear God's word coming out of our mouth. We are the ones that give voice to it. This is the word of God. It's not the voice of God. It's the word of God, not the voice of God. You got to take the word of God and give voice to it. And the angels heed the voice of his word. And then they're able to protect you. Then they're able to do what they are assigned to do. Just because they were assigned to do it doesn't mean they can do it. They still need you to give them permission. They need you to believe and to welcome them into your world to do what they've been commissioned to do. And so I remind them all the time. I say, bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength. Who excel in strength. Praise God. How? Heeding the voice of his word. Doing the word that they're hearing from your mouth. They excel in strength. Think about that. They get stronger. God, we know he's omnipotent, right? He is all-powerful. He doesn't have to excel in strength. He is strength. He is the source of where all strength comes. But human beings and even angels can excel in strength or even diminish in strength. And so it's going to depend on you and what you're saying that will determine whether your angels will be strong or weak. And unfortunately, there's more people strengthening fallen angels than there are people strengthening God's holy angels. Let's strengthen our holy angels and let's diminish the strength of these fallen angels, of these demons that try to harass us. Let them get no strength from you. Let them not be able to draw any strength off of your life. Don't give them the words of your mouth because you're feeding them and strengthening them when you speak all unbelief and negative things. When you're speaking negative, you're speaking contrary to the word of God, just my opinion and my feelings. You're feeding demons. And they're like, I mean, they're like Popeye getting spinach. Why are the demons attacking me? Because you're saying, why is the demons attacking me? Instead of saying what the word says, the devil's under my feet. Ha, 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 ha. The devil's under my feet. I trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing should by any means harm me. Now that comes out of your mouth. The devil's not getting weaker. Oh. They start losing all hope. And your angels rise up. Yeah. Speak it, brother. Ching. Come on, somebody. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. We give voice to God's word. So you got to recognize God's voice. You got to recognize God's voice. Our voice becomes God's voice when we speak God's word. Our voice becomes God's voice when we speak God's word. Did you get that? Our voice becomes God's voice when we speak God's word. So that's true for you as an individual. That's also true for others as well around you. You need to recognize when God's talking to you. You need to recognize God's voice coming through other people. You need to recognize when God's saying something to you. And it's not just man. Well, that's just Charlie. Well, I just love Pastor Stephen. Or I don't really like Pastor Stephen. I get them both. Well, it don't bother me at all because it ain't about Pastor Stephen. Because I ain't speaking Pastor Stephen's words. I ain't teaching Pastor Stephen thoughts. I'm teaching the word of God. I'm speaking his word. This is his voice. This is God talking to you. See, we need to recognize that so we don't miss the greater, having our mind just on the natural. Just on the natural things. We need to recognize the spiritual things that are taking place in our life, in our world around us. You become God's voice when you speak God's word. So do the other people in your life, people that have been sent by God to influence your life. When they're speaking God's word, pay attention. Recognize God's voice in it. And that's why he says in Hebrews chapter 4 and in verse 7, again, he designates a certain day saying in David, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. Do not harden your hearts. So many people, they've heard the voice of God. God is speaking to them. And they harden their heart because they got their eyes on the flesh. They got their eyes on a person. They did that to Jesus in his own hometown. Jesus came, and what did he do? He got up and just started reading from the scriptures. Started reading from Isaiah. Started declaring the word. And they all looked at him and said, who does he think he is? What did they do? They hardened their heart. And the Bible says because of that, he was not able to do any mighty works among them. He was limited. Jesus was limited. Jesus, get that, Jesus was limited in what he can do because they bound on earth what God could do through him. Through their unbelief, through their speaking unbelief, they bound God. They bound God's hands. They bound Jesus. They limited him in what he can do. Think about that. Because God's given us a free will. God's given us a free will. So he doesn't just do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. Like so many people teach. That's a lie. It's a non-truth. It's deception. It's error. It's ignorance of the scriptures. It's ignorance of God. It's not how it works. We're reaping what we've sown. And we're going to reap what we sow. Somebody says, oh man, I've sown some wild oats. Well, bless God, start confessing and repenting and let God do a thorough work in your heart of getting things cleaned out, and then guess what you'll reap? Mercy. Oh, hallelujah. You'll reap mercy if you really mean business with God. He says, sow righteousness and you'll reap mercy. And we want to receive mercy from the Lord, don't we? So when we hear God's voice, we got to recognize this is God's voice because this is God's word. This isn't a man. This isn't just a man's opinion. This is God speaking. Don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. When you hear God's voice, you should get happy, not hardened. You should get happy, not hardened. And really, it's one or the other. Because if we hear his voice and we go, well, that's not receiving it, is it? No, that's hardening your heart to it. But when we receive it, we go, we get happy, right? So you can always check on your heart by checking on your happiness. It's good, isn't that? And that's easy, too, isn't it? You can just check on yourself. Somebody says, I don't like it. Well, don't harden your heart. Learn to like it. It's God's word. It's good for you. God knows what's best for you. Eat your spinach. He knows what's good for you. So let's heed his voice. Psalm 29. Hold your place there. And look at Psalm 29. It talks all about the voice of the Lord. Psalm 29, and in verse 3, it says, the voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord is over many waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. See, when God's word is in your mouth, oh, man, your voice becomes powerful. It has miracle-working power in it. The voice of the Lord, man, that could be your voice. Yielded to the Holy Spirit, your mouth full of the Word of God. It's powerful. The voice of the Lord is powerful. We got to get a hold of that. Got to recognize that when we speak His Word, it's not just us anymore. See, because a lot of times, you know, we feel so small and insignificant, and I'm just a little worm, and I'm not anything. You know, God's everything. Well, God's Word in your mouth, it's powerful. There's the power of God there. Get a hold of that so that you can stand up to your circumstances. That's why you can stand up and look at that mountain. See, you look at the mountain as just you looking at the mountain and you speaking to the mountain. Yeah, I would have a tough time believing the mountain's going anywhere either. Because remember, Jesus said, you will say to that mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that those things you say will come to pass, you'll have whatever you say. Well, you see yourself up against a mountain? Move! Move! I didn't move! It's hard to believe it's going anywhere. Because you just see yourself standing up against that mountain, speaking to it. Now, whatever that mountain might be, whatever the circumstances might be, it might be mountainous, a mountainous set of circumstances. And you're getting all these terrible reports, and the thing's mounting up. Move! You're going to get discouraged pretty quick. Because you, against those circumstances, the voice of that doctor, the voice of that debt, the voice of whatever the circumstance is, the voice of that judge, that voice is bigger than yours. But it's not bigger than the voice of God. His voice thunders. Just blows through everything. Just shakes everything. In fact, last week, man, there was a clap of thunder. This whole place just rocked. It felt like an earthquake. It was so loud, the whole place, you felt everything vibrate around you. That's what God's word is in your mouth. When you become a mouthpiece for Him, when your voice becomes His voice, it's powerful. Boom! Things go. Things move. Things get out of the way. Devils flee. They run. You got to believe and know that. So when you speak with confidence, you speak with faith, you say, go! Be removed. And it goes. Boom! It's bigger than anybody's voice. The voice of the Lord. How many people want to be the voice of the Lord in the earth? Oh, hallelujah. Boom! Let's all say it together. Boom! Oh, yeah. Hallelujah. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. Now, remember, this is your voice when you're speaking His word. Your voice becomes the voice of the Lord. Verse 5, the voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord splinters the cedars of Lebanon. Boy, that sounds intense, don't it? Now, you see, God will speak to us in a small, still voice. He'll direct us in a small, still voice. He'll give us these promptings, you know. But when you begin to yield to him and you speak it out on the earth, it thunders, it's powerful, it breaks things, it splinters things spiritually. Verse 6, he makes them also skip like a calf, Lebanon and Syrian like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord divides the flames of fire. I got some other translations for that. The CEB translation. It says, the Lord's voice unleashes fiery flames. That's coming out of your mouth. Fiery flames. The EHV translation says, the voice of the Lord slashes with flashes of fire. Man, the voice of the Lord slashes with flashes of fire. Because remember, he said that the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. But just the written word of God is like a sword in its sheath. It's not slashing, and it's not cutting, it's not doing anything. You got to take it out of the sheath. How do you do that? Put it in your mouth. Speak that word out of your mouth, and man, it slashes. With flashes of fire. Man, that's a sword that's on fire. There really is a lightsaber. Isn't that amazing? Cut things right off. Say, I'm not going to harden my heart to the voice of God. I'm going to become a voice of God in the earth. Amen. Life is hard for the hard-hearted. When we harden our heart to the voice of God, God tells us to do something, God speaks to us, and we harden our heart to it, we've set ourselves up for a hard life. We've sowed the wrong thing. We're making things hard on ourselves. Why make things hard on yourself? When Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm going to go Jesus' way. I'm going to go the light and easy way. Let's go the light and easy way. Why are folks making things hard on themselves? But yet folks do it all the time. By what? Not heeding his voice, not becoming his voice in the earth. Let's heed his voice and let's become his voice. Let's heed his voice, let's become his voice. Let's heed his voice, let's become his voice. And let's forget about opinions and let's forget about all these other things and let's stop speaking our negative circumstances and what everybody else, just repeat, be parrots, just repeating what other people are saying. There's an echo of what the world is bellowing out. Let's not become an echo for the world. Let's not become an echo for the news media. Let's not become an echo for everybody and everything that's out there. Let's go ahead and become a voice. Oh, hallelujah. Let's become a voice for the Lord. Let's become the Lord's voice. I'd rather be a voice than an echo, don't you? See, we're not just echoing God's word. We're becoming his voice, which is powerful. And it slashes and it breaks and splinters and cuts things and changes things and throws things into the sea. It moves things out of the way. An echo can't do that. But a voice can. And that's what we are. We're not echoes. We're voices. Hallelujah. Somebody say, I'm a voice for God. That's why he goes on in verse 15 of chapter 4 in Hebrews. And he says, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Listen, all sin starts with your mouth. Remember, Jesus is the high priest of our confession. All sin starts with the mouth. If we can just get a hold of our mouth and not allow our mouth to agree with our feelings and any kind of temptations that the devil's bringing, man, those temptations will die right there. But it's when we utter. It's when we mutter. It's when we begin to speak with our mouth that we've sinned. Jesus, our high priest, what an example he is for us. He is our master. He is our master. If we just keep our eyes on him, and really ask the question in every situation, what would Jesus say? What would Jesus do? Oh, man, how that would just keep us out of all kinds of hardship. That would make life so much easier and lighter for us if we could just always look at the Master, because he is our example. We have him with us and in us to be able to walk just like him, to walk just like him. Somebody say, I have a high priest. That's what he says. He says, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize. Stop. We do have a high priest then, don't we? That's what he's saying. Right now, we have a high priest. We have a high priest. Jesus' high priestly ministry, like I said before, is at the right hand of the Father. And he is sympathetic with what we are going through now. We have a high priest now who sympathizes with us now. He sympathizes with what we go through in life. Isn't that powerful? He's not indifferent and cold and just like, oh, come on. What's wrong with you people? He knows what it's like to be tempted. He doesn't sympathize with us giving in to sin and just succumbing to it, because he never did that. But he does sympathize with our weaknesses, and he understands that we have to deal with temptation. See, when we get to heaven, we're not going to deal with that. We get to heaven, there's no temptation. There's no temptation of evil there. It's such light and such glory, you can't be tempted. Isn't that powerful? That's what heaven's like. But Jesus came down to the earth, and he took on the form of a man. He put humanity upon him, and so now he understands what it's like to not know everything that's going on. He knows what it's like to be confronted with darkness. He knows what it's like to be tempted, and he was tempted at every point. He knows what it's like. And so as our high priest representing us to the Father, Father God, seated at his right hand, Jesus sympathizes. He sympathizes with us. He is fighting for us. He's rooting for us. Think about that. Jesus is rooting for us. He's not standing there with a mallet saying, come on, you gonna do it again? Come on, I dare you. A lot of people have that kind of image of God. What are you trying to do? Are you trying to mess me up? You know, a few bad things happen in a row, and it's God. God's against me. God's against me. God's causing these problems. Has to be God. Couldn't be your mouth. Couldn't be you. Couldn't be your attitude. Couldn't be. It's got to be God. Well, I just believe God. I just believe you. Now, you don't know what you're talking about. Because you're not speaking about God according to his word. You're echoing religious demonic lies. Amen. That's what people do when they blame it all on God. Well, God's doing all these things because in his sovereignty, he has a plan. No, in your ignorance, you got a mouth. And you're shooting it off, and you're shooting yourself in the foot, and you're causing yourself all kinds of hardship. And you're empowering demons, and they're coming over by the dozens. Because like, this guy's feeding good stuff over here. Demons like, man, they are throwing a feast at this house. Get over here. All the skinny imps are... Skinny imps, you know, they all leave my house. They're looking for somebody's house to go have a party. They need to show up at your house, man, and just come walking out of there with all their spiritual ribs showing. Right? It's getting worse. Can we go somewhere else? All right, come over here to this religious house real quick. They'll get you pumped up. And we'll try to hit those folks at Life of Faith one more time. That's the kind of reputation. You know, Paul had that kind of reputation. I got news for you. Bible says that. Remember the demons? There was a demon-possessed guy. These Jewish exorcists came along, and they had seen Paul casting demons out. So it's over here in the book of Acts. And so they went up to this demon-possessed guy, and they say, "We adjure you in the name of this Jesus whom Paul preaches to come out." They were an echo. They were an echo. "We adjure you in the name of this Jesus," who we don't know, "whom Paul preaches, to come out." come out, come out, come out, come out, come out. It was just an echo. And the demon spoke up inside the guy, and he said, Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are you? And the demons inside the man caused that man to jump on those guys and beat them all up, just started beating them up, ripped their clothes off. They ran out of the house naked and wounded. True story. True story. Don't you love that? Ian I know, but who are you? Harry I know, but who are you? That's how it should be. Oh, we know them. We know, I know Jesus, and I know him. I know her. But who are these echoes out here? So many people are just echoing the word of God, and they're getting themselves blemishes. They're going, devil, in the name of Jesus. It's like, then they come back more wounded than they were before. But the voice of the Lord cuts through it. Cuts through it, drives the enemy out. Can you say amen? Somebody say, God is fighting for us. Jesus is my intercessor. He stands in the gap for me. He's pleading for me. He's defending me. That's exactly what he's doing. Hebrews chapter 7, just jump ahead a couple chapters here. Hebrews the 7th chapter. In verse 25, it says, therefore, he is also able, talking about Jesus, is able to save to the uttermost. My margin says completely or forever. He's able to save to the uttermost, completely, forever. I love that. When he does something, it's forever. And it's completely. God's not looking to do a little here and a little there. God wants to get the whole thing. But many times, we are only spitting out little bite-sized portions for God to be able to take hold of and do in our life. But that's why we're here in the Word. That doesn't condemn us. That just identifies where many of us are at so we can make the change and say, yeah, let's start giving God more Word. You know, I think of these locomotives, you know, and they'd have the coal and you got the fire, the fiery furnace inside that steam engine. And they would shovel that coal in there and just get that thing, keep that fire burning, keep that thing going, keep that steam flowing. And man, think about the power of those trains. Man, that's what it's like. Man, we got the power of God and we got the word of God like these coals, man. And we just shove them in the fire, shove them in the fire. And man, it's going to keep us on track. It's going to keep us moving and nothing's going to be able to stand in our way. Here we come. Here we come. Notice again. Therefore, he, verse 25, is also able to save to the uttermost those who come to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession. That's what he's doing now at the right hand of the Father. He is our high priest now. He sympathizes with us. He sympathizes with our weaknesses. He's fighting for us. He's even interceding for us. And he ever lives. He lives forever now as our intercessor to the Father. He is looking to defend us. But you've got to give him some things that he can use as evidence to represent your case. Just like an attorney, you hire an attorney and you sit down with that attorney and you talk to each other knowing that this attorney is going to represent me before this court, before this judge. And so you sit down with him and you give him as much information as you can. Well, we come with our high priest, who's also referred to as our advocate. He is our attorney. He's our lawyer. Jesus is our lawyer in the courtroom of heaven. And so the devil comes and he's the accuser. And he comes to prosecute. And he comes with a case against you. And he says, look what this guy has done. Look at the sins he's committed. Look at the things. Look at this. Look at that. And he lays out his evidence so that you can be found guilty and have to pay for your crimes, have to reap what you've sown. But oh, thank God, we can come before the Lord and say, Father, I confess this. And you said, if I will confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And I thank you that, Jesus, you are my righteousness. I am the righteousness of God in him, in Christ Jesus. And we begin declaring God's word. And I'm not just talking about living one way and then making some confessions of the word of God while living and speaking contrary to the word of God. That ain't going to work. You're just echoing. Jesus is my Savior. He took all my sins away. And so I confess my sin, but I'm not going to change. I confess my sin. No. This is a heart change. God hears when we speak from our heart. And we come speaking his word. We give that evidence to the Lord. See, don't speak your own words. You have the right to remain silent. Anything you say in the flesh will be held against you in a high court in heaven. Don't just speak stuff. Don't speak your own feelings and opinions about it. You have the right to remain silent. Let God speak through you. Let God speak through you. Now, this is very exciting, Jesus as our intercessor. Because before Jesus came, Satan had a very high place over the human race. He had a very high place. He's still our accuser, but he had a place in the high court of heaven that he does not have anymore. He was a prosecuting attorney before God. He had an audience with God because Adam had given that authority to the devil when he had sinned and sold out his dominion to the devil, dominion over this world. Satan took that dominion and now he became mankind's representative. Adam was supposed to be man's representative. But he gave it to Satan. Satan became man's representative, and now Satan has this place before God where he's able to accuse us before him. Isn't that great? That the one representing you is an accuser, is someone that is out to get you, wants you to fall, wants you to fail. He wants to destroy your life. That's how it was under the old covenant. That's what they had. That's what the human race had. They had an accuser representing them to God. We see it in the book of Job. Many of people are familiar with this. They don't understand it, and they twist it. So it says in Job chapter 1, Job 1, we'll pick it up here in verse 6. Now, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan also came among them. And the Lord said to Satan, from where do you come? Let's just stop there for a moment. Who are the sons of God? Now, if you've been listening to this series, we went back to the very beginning part of this series. And in chapter 1 of Hebrews, it talks about the Son of God, Jesus. And we saw that angels could not be sons of God, because he says in Hebrews 1, to which of the angels has he ever said, you are my son, today I've begotten you? And yet people think the sons of God are angels. Angels are not the sons of God. We are sons of God. Because of faith in Jesus, we've been born again, or born of God. When you put your faith in Jesus, you get born all over again spiritually. Hallelujah, you get new DNA. You're born again, born of God. You are his sons and daughters. That's who you are. You're his children. Now, Adam was a son of God. And I don't want to go through this whole thing again because we've talked on it, but you can go back. But I do have to say a little bit. Adam was a son of God, but after he sinned, all the children that were born after him were called the sons of men. Because Adam was now cut off from God. But the children Adam and Eve had before they sinned, they would be sons of God. They would still have God's seed in them. But after he sinned, Adam sinned, no longer were men called sons of God. They were called sons of men. But before Adam sinned, he had children. And you go back, you listen to, if you haven't heard it, go back and listen to the whole message. Those are the sons of God. They're the ones here that are standing before the throne of God over in the other, on the other side of eternity. So they're there. Here, we're going to talk about earth today. The sons of God are there. But then man's representative also has a right to come in where the sons of God are and represent mankind because Adam gave it to him. So now Satan is coming before the throne of God. And look, he's got nothing good on his mind. Satan also came among them. Verse 7. And the Lord said to Satan, "From where do you come?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro on the earth and from walking back and forth on it." Then the Lord said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job, that there is none like him on the earth, a blameless and upright man, one who fears God and shuns evil?" So Satan answered the Lord and said, "Does Job fear God for nothing? Have you not made a hedge around him, around his household, and around all the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land?" That's what God does. He'll put a hedge around you, and he'll increase the works of your hands. That's what God does. "But now, stretch out your hand and touch all that he has, and he'll surely curse you to your face." So the Lord said to Satan, "Behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." Then Satan went out from the presence of the Lord. Now people look at that and they think, why did God do this? Why did God give Satan power to go in there and do this to Job? He didn't. Remember, going back to the children of Israel, he says, "As you have spoken, so I will do to you. You will have what you say. You will have what you say." So here, God, notice what God says again in verse 12. "So the Lord said to Satan, behold, all that he has is in your power. Only do not lay a hand on his person." That word power can also mean jurisdiction. All that he has is in your authority. All that he has is in your jurisdiction. You have jurisdiction over him. It's already, God didn't put Job in Satan's hand. Job was already in Satan's hand, and God was having to recognize that. Just like a judge would have to recognize things that he doesn't necessarily want to recognize, but legally he has to recognize because there's the evidence. Satan came, presented evidence that isn't recorded here. We'll see that. You can see that in other places in Job. But Job had spoken many things out of his mouth. In fact, over in chapter 4, he says, let's look at this really quickly. After he gets totally assaulted by Satan, I mean, all these terrible things happen. It says in verse 25, he says, "For the thing I greatly feared has come upon me, and what I dreaded has happened to me. I am not at ease, nor am I quiet. I have no rest, for trouble comes." That's just a little piece. But you see it all through the book of Job. Job was declaring his fears. He was declaring his troubles and what he feared would come upon him. And that's why at the end, when the Lord did deliver him, Job was confessing sin before God. And he said, "I put my hand over my mouth. I've spoken once. I'm not going to speak anymore." That's what he says. So Satan was just being told by the Lord, "Yeah, I see that you've come, you've set your heart on my servant Job." That's literally how it translates. It isn't, "Have you considered my servant Job?" He knew that. He said, "You have set your heart on my servant Job." The Lord knew that. He said, "You've set your heart on my servant Job. Yes, I see that he is in your jurisdiction. He's under your authority. He's put himself there through the words of his mouth." And so all these troubles came on Job. But the good news is that Jesus came. And Jesus defeated the devil and overthrew him, kicked him out of that place in heaven, kicked him out of that seat that Adam had given to him. And Jesus took that authority over mankind, and he became man's representative. And no longer is there an accuser standing before the Lord day and night, but now there's an attorney that's working for us. There is an advocate. There is an intercessor. There is someone that's pleading our case and saying, yeah, they did that, but notice what they said. I did this. See my stripes on my back. They recognize that I did this. See, they're talking about the nail scars in my hand. They're talking about my blood, how it was poured out for their sins. That's who's standing before the Father pleading his case. And you don't have to plead very much. You know the Father just goes, got it. I mean, the Father agrees with Jesus immediately. And you are justified. You're declared innocent. Hallelujah. And you are set free. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Now, we've run out of time. There's a lot more we could say about these things. And Lord willing, we will next time. But, oh, thank God, we got such power, such authority. When we speak our words, we got a high priest, we got an intercessor that's just there watching and waiting to fulfill his word of victory in our life. He's just looking to perform it. He's just looking to bring it to pass. But he needs to hear from you. And not just a little, but a lot. Come on. Lots of coal in the fire. Let's give him a lot. Let's give God a lot to work with, man. Let's learn the word. Let's speak the word. Let's shovel the word, man, out of our mouth into that fiery presence of God so that we can just steamroll our enemy down. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Come on, stand on your feet with me.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.